Welcome on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, let's start with this boycott. Is this boycott just about the pay cut, or are there other factors at play in the negotiations with Unilever?
Yeah, so what our workers out at the factory are facing is a 46% pay cut, which is absolutely massive and will devastate them and their families. But also there's some associated conditions rolled into there as well that are kind of on the chopping block. But for us, this is really a kind of flagship struggle for the union movement. Time and time again, we're seeing kind of big multinational corporations come up against working people and try to cut their pay and conditions unfairly. And so that's what we're standing up against in this struggle.
Now, I just want to start on that. You mentioned families. What will happen to workers and the families of streets if Unilever doesn't budge?
It's going to be absolutely devastating for these workers. Like most Australians, these guys have families, they've got mortgages, they need to stay afloat. A lot of them are the primary earners in their families. We've got members out there who stand to lose everything if this pay cut goes ahead, which is why we're going in so hard to back them in.
I suppose, are there any other planned actions? Are there going to be strikes as well as a boycott, a kind of call for boycotting of the project?
Products? That's not on the table at the moment, but what we are looking to do is roll out this boycott nationally. So we're going to be hitting up big summer locations, think beaches, cricket matches, other sporting games, really getting the word out to all Australians that they need to support these workers.
And I suppose there have been other strikes where unions have called on consumers to stop purchasing products, such as the Carlton United Brewery strikes, which we saw last year, which lasted, I believe, for just under 3 months, and in the end resulted in a successful striking for the unions, who were able to see the employees get their demands from the CUB. Is that the aim here, to tap into that, getting consumers to move with their wallets, to really push businesses to say that ethical consumption is a big part of what people want when they're buying something?
Yeah, definitely. I think the CUB dispute taught us that Australians really care about who makes their products, and Australians really back in working people when it counts. So we're really hoping to tap into that again and kind of galvanise that spirit across Australia to make sure that these workers are protected.
And how has Unilever responded to the calls for the boycott?
I don't think they're particularly happy about it, and I'm pretty sure that as this boycott rolls on and they see exactly how angry Australians are that these workers are being treated poorly, I'm sure they're going to be even less displeased. But for us, it's just about standing up for these workers and making sure that they get treated fairly.
And does this have ramifications for workers in other areas and other factories other than the one in Minto?
No, but we are looking at it as a kind of Australia-wide problem. So again, time and time again, we're seeing these big corporations coming in, trying to rip up these negotiated agreements with workers and bring them back down to award rates, which are often much lower and totally unlivable. So while it might not, it's just focused currently on the factory in Minto, but it really has brought around implications for everybody across the board.
And I suppose on the back of this, is this, I suppose, you spoke about how the negotiations had, how did the negotiations, I guess, get to this state where we've had the calls for the boycott of products, but also Unilever trying to move away, you're appealing to Fair Work Australia to get this enterprise agreement re-looked at?
Yeah, I think it's really important to note that we never wanted to be in this position. This is a really hard decision for our union and our workers to make. Time and time again, we came to the bargaining table with Unilever and they just weren't having a bar of it. So this is really a last resort for us. They hit the nuclear option and now we're kind of doing all that we can.
Are there any other kind of planned actions in the pipeline at the moment?
The biggest thing we're asking people to do, other than kind of look out for us at their favourite summer spot, is to jump online, like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, and support us in our social media campaigning as well, because that was really huge in the CUB dispute. We saw that Australians kind of jump on board the online campaigning in record numbers, and we're hoping to replicate that again.
And just in case there might be some people who are invigorated and want to start supporting the boycott, what are the products that you're actually, what are some of the kind of more famous ice creams that people might not know what a Streets or Peter's ice cream is? Can you just give us a bit of information about what ice creams you're asking people to say no to?
Yeah, so we're asking people to say no to some of Australia's most iconic ice cream. So these include Magnums, Golden Daytimes, Calippos, Slices, Blue Ribbon Ice Cream, and the Rainbow Paddle Pop as well as all other flavours, but I'm particularly upset about the rainbow. But these are hard choices, you know. Australians love these ice creams. They're really iconic, but Australians believe that workers should be paid fairly. And that's why we're all getting behind this.
And Georgia, do you think that this is something that you'll have resolved, hopefully, by the start of next year?
Yeah, we're really confident about this. We know that the reaction, even since yesterday when we officially launched it, has been massive. People are really getting behind it already, and we foresee that there's only going to be more momentum building across the summer. So we're looking forward to bringing this home for the workers.
Thank you very much for joining The Daily, Georgia.
Thanks so much for having me.